Genesis chapter number 22, if you'd stand with me this morning, we're going to look there at Genesis chapter number 22. Brother Chris, two months ago, was given the opportunity to give us a sermon series, or present a sermon series for this month, and he chose this emphasis on the subject matter of being overwhelmed. And I remember sitting there around the table as he discussed what God had put in his heart about this subject matter, that every time we find someone in Scripture who is overwhelmed, that God's response to them is also an overwhelming response. And we like to close the series this morning on this particular subject as well, about God, how God shows up in overwhelming ways. In this particular case, I've titled it Overwhelmed While Obeying. Overwhelmed while obeying. Genesis chapter number 22, if you look there with me at verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him." I'd like to have a word of prayer this morning, and we'll jump into the message. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to allow us together here this morning. Thank you for your word and the opportunity to preach it. And Holy Spirit, we need you this morning. If any work is going to be done in our hearts and lives, if you're going to do any good thing this morning, it must come from you. And so Holy Spirit, I pray that you use your word to convict our hearts. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here this morning that's overwhelmed, Lord, that they'd understand that you also want to answer in their life in an overwhelming way. Lord, I pray that there's someone this morning who doesn't know you as their personal Savior. Lord, who does not have settled, who haven't settled, that this morning they would settle their eternity. Lord, I pray that you'd use me today, and we'll thank you and praise you for it in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. What is the most terrifying thing that you've ever had to face? The most terrifying thing that you've ever had to face. For some, it could be crowds. You clam up in a crowd, maybe public speaking for some. You're fine talking in a conversation, but the minute you have to stand in front of a group of people, it becomes terrifying to you. Maybe you've had times in your life where you've been punished, and that punishment was terrifying to you. I remember the last time my dad disciplined me as a 16-year-old young man. He had just gotten off of work, and I was in the middle of a conversation with my mom. Some would call it a conversation. Others would call it a disagreement. Some would call it an argument. I'm not for sure which one it fell at. But we were in there talking, and I had told my mom, well, what was the end of the conversation? So, you're my mom. You have to. And about that time, I said the word so. My dad had stepped in the door, and my dad made this statement. I'll never forget it. Son, what did you just say to my wife? It was one thing if my dad said, what did you say to your mom? That was one side of the spectrum. But whenever he replaced your mom with my wife, you knew there was something completely different. It was a different set of punishment that day. And I remember as a 16-year-old young man, he asked me to go to the living room and to bend down and touch my toes. And he applied a board to the seat of correction. Let me just tell you something. I learned a lesson that day. I was terrified. Terrifying. As we think of Memorial Day and those who have given their life for our country, many of you who are sitting here in this room, you have sacrificed for our freedom as well. You've given years of service on a battlefield, and maybe in a situation you would say that is the most terrifying thing that I've ever had to face in my life. Some are terrified of change. Others are terrified of the dark. Some are terrified of death. Some say they're terrified of the government. Ronald Reagan said it this way, the most terrifying in the words in the English language are this, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. I'm not for sure if they go together, but once again, there's times in your life that you've been terrified. Let me just say this morning, God's plan and God's plan for your life can be terrifying as well. What God's asked you to do, a decision He might have asked you to make, a change in your life that He's asked you to step in can also be extremely fearful and extremely, as we'd say in our series, overwhelming to you. Think about it this morning. Abraham in this passage was not overwhelmed because of what he did wrong. Abraham in this passage was not overwhelmed because of the loss of a loved one. He was not overwhelmed because of a sudden circumstance that came into his life. Here, Abraham in this passage was overwhelmed because what God was asking him to do. It was God's plan for Abraham's life in this situation that he found himself in an extremely overwhelming predicament. When Abraham offered Isaac, he faced the fear of the task at hand. Talk about overwhelming. God asking you to offer your son, your only son, as his word says, to him. Here God asks Abraham to take his son and offer him as a living sacrifice. Personally, I cannot imagine how overwhelming this would have been for Abraham. God, you want me to do what? God, you want me to take my son and offer him for a sacrifice? God, what are you talking about? God, what is going on here? And if you could put yourself in Abraham's shoes just for a minute this morning, you would see yourself extremely overwhelmed. Maybe none of us this morning have faced the kind of fear or overwhelming circumstance that Abraham did here in Genesis 22. Asked to give up his son. Asked to give up his dreams. Asked to give up what he believed was God's plan for his life. I believe this morning that God's plan, God's curriculum for our lives, can also place us in the middle of very overwhelming circumstances. God's plan in our life can be extremely overwhelming. I'll be honest this morning. God's plan for the Frost family is extremely overwhelming. What God has asked us to do and the fact that we'll leave here this week, and it's an extremely overwhelming feeling knowing that next Sunday I'll stand behind a pulpit as a pastor of a church. Could it be this morning that God's plan for your life, God's direction in your life feels a bit overwhelming to you? Maybe the step of faith that God has asked you to make is an overwhelming step to you. Maybe the family decision that God has placed on your heart that you know God has asked you to make, that decision, God's plan is overwhelming to you at this point. Maybe God's asked you to fix your marriage. And you know in fixing your marriage, there's going to be an overwhelming time. Maybe God's asked you to step up as a mom or dad, and you know that stepping up as a Christian mom or a Christian father seems to be extremely overwhelming to you. Maybe God's asked you to teach a Sunday school class and stand in front of a group of kids or stand in front of a group of adults, and the thought of standing before them and presenting God's word is an overwhelming thought to you. Maybe God's asked you to take the next step of faith. Maybe to trust Him as your personal Savior. Maybe to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe to join a Bible-believing church. And that next step of faith to you seems to be a very overwhelming thought. Abraham's actions in the midst of this overwhelming circumstance teach us, I believe, this morning how to respond to when we find ourselves overwhelmed while obeying God. I'd like you to look with me this morning at just a couple things that I'd like to point out about Abraham's journey while being overwhelmed. First of all, I want to point out this morning that Abraham acted on what he did know. Abraham acted on what he did know. Look at Genesis chapter number 22 with me again. Verse number 3. Of course, we know in verse number 2, the Lord asked him to take his son and offer his son. Verse number 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood of the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Abraham acts on what he did know. God told me to go offer my son, so I'm going to go do it. And he got ready that day, not understanding what was going to take place, not understanding what God was going to do, not understanding the journey that lied ahead, but understanding that he at least needed to live by what God had told him to do. Not only that, but I believe Abraham also understood what God had told him in the past. The fact that Isaac was not just any son, but Isaac was the son of promise. Isaac was the son that God had promised to him and Sarah. Isaac, the son that God had said he would make of him a great nation. Isaac, the son that God had said, this would be the son that you pass on. This is the son I'm going to bless. And though Abraham that day did not understand God's request, he understood what God had told him and what God was saying, and Abraham acted on what he did know. You may find yourself this morning in a task that's overwhelming. The task at hand seems to be too much to carry, but let me just tell you this morning, if God said it, we need to act on what we do know. We need to act on what we do know. I praise the Lord for Pastor Mutchler. You believe in starting a church. I'm sure there was times in him and his wife's life that in starting a church here in Oregon City, Oregon, Beaver Creek, Oregon, that they faced some overwhelming things. But praise the Lord for a man and woman who acted in the face of being overwhelmed and just went ahead and did what God had asked them to do. You and I get the beneficiaries of it this morning. Why? Because someone in the face of an overwhelming circumstance went ahead and just acted on what God told them. Is standing behind a pulpit next week overwhelming? Is it difficult? Yes. Yes, it seems to be overwhelming, but God said it. God said to go. I do want to remind us this morning that I do believe it's much harder to live outside of the will of God than to live inside of the will of God. Yes, we'll face circumstances inside the will of God that will cause us to be overwhelmed. We'll put ourselves in, by following God, in overwhelming situations, but to live outside of God's will and to run from God is much more overwhelming, my friend. Think about Jonah for a minute as he stands there on the bank, having been vomited up by a whale because he decided to run from God. As Jonah, how overwhelming it is to run from God. As Jonah, how overwhelming it is to turn the other direction and decide not to follow God's plan in his life. While facing an overwhelming situation, we must live by what we do know. If we're not careful this morning, I believe as God speaks to our heart and we become overwhelmed by what he's placed on our heart, we can practice turtle Christianity. You say, Brother Fraud, Brother Steve, what do you mean by turtle Christianity? Well, God asked us to use our feet for him. And so we decide to, you know, I'm just going to pull those feet up into the shell a little bit. God asked us to use our hands for him. And I don't know if I can, that seems just a little bit overwhelming. I'm just going to go ahead and pull those hands in just a little bit. God asked us to use our mouth for him. God asked us to stand in front of people or to tell somebody about the Savior. And, whoa, I don't know if I could do that. And we begin to pull our head in that shell. What are we doing? We're hiding from what we do know, God, what God has told us. We're pulling into the shell when we face an overwhelming situation, an overwhelming time in God's plan. The time is not to do less for him. The time is to do more for him. You see, if you're overwhelmed by the plan that God has for your life at this moment, it's not time for less church, it's time for more church. It's not time for less prayer, it's time for more prayer. It's not time for less Bible reading, it's time for more Bible reading. It's not time for less soul winning, it's time for more soul winning. If your finances this morning, you feel overwhelmed by your finances, let me tell you this morning, it's not time to stop tithing, it's time to keep tithing. Let me just say that again. If you felt overwhelmed by your financial circumstance this morning, it's not time to pull into the shell and say, you know what, I'm going to keep it for myself right now because I need it. No, my friend, it's to keep taking God's word and living by what we do know that he's told us to do. If you feel overwhelmed this morning, it's not time to do less, but to do more. Abraham acted on what he did know. And because of that, I want you to look this morning at the confidence he had during this trial. Turn over there with me to verse number 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Look at verse number 5. Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Because he acted on what he did know and he knew what God had told him, Abraham could stand there in the face of these young men and say, listen, we're going to go worship. I know what God's told me. I know what God's asked me to do, but I also know what God's promised me. And God has always come through with his word. And so me and the lad will return. There was a confidence. You say, how could Abraham be so confident? He didn't understand what the future in front of him held, but he did know who held the future, holds the future. See, when we focus on living by what we do know, we exercise faith and not fear. When we live by what we do know, and we live by what Christ has said, we stop living by the circumstances that seem to dictate our lives. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In the midst of an overwhelming circumstance, in the midst of God's plan being overwhelming in our life, God's word says to trust in him, to live by what we do know. And we find when we live by what we do know, we lean not unto our own understanding, but acknowledge him. What does he tell us? He's going to direct our path. Not only this morning do I see Abraham live by what he did know God had told him, Abraham didn't dwell on what he didn't know. Abraham didn't dwell on what he didn't know. We call that doubt this morning. Abraham, how is God going to do it? I don't know. Abraham, is God going to really make you sacrifice your son on that altar? I don't know. I'm just doing what God told me to do. Abraham, how do you know that you and the lad are going to return again? Listen, I don't know. Abraham, is God going to magically appear? And is he going to catch your hand? Is he going to stop you in the middle? Is he going to resurrect your son? I have no idea. All I do know is what God said, and I'm not going to live by the doubt that comes into my mind. Abraham didn't dwell on what he didn't know. Faith is not the absence of doubt. It's going on in spite of the doubt. Hey, Noah, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. Why? God's going to destroy the world in a flood? Water's going to come from the sky? What are you talking about, Noah? We've never seen that before. No, this is what God told me to do. How is he going to do that? I have no idea. I don't know how God's going to do it. I just know what God told me to do, and so I'm going to keep doing it. But what about this, Noah? It doesn't matter. Imagine how Noah's family felt in the whole situation. Abraham's just doing what God had told him to do. I'm sure his kids, Dad, are you sure about this? Dad, I'm losing friends at school because they say my dad's crazy. That you're building a boat out in the middle of a no place and you're preaching that God's going to come judge the earth for wickedness. No, Dad, you've been preaching this for 20 years and nothing's happening. Dad, you've been preaching this for 50 years and nothing's happening. Could you imagine year 119 for Noah's wife? Honey, are you sure? That's what God said. Are you sure? I've lost everybody. No, you better be right. And man, you know what it's like when your wife is pointing at you and saying, you better be right. 120 years later, yet Noah was still not living in doubt, but living by what God had told him to do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are you sure you don't want to bow down before that idol? You know what the king said. You know what Nebuchadnezzar said. Are you sure you don't want to bow? I love what they say in Daniel chapter 3, verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, hey, by the way, king, let me just let you know, just in case he doesn't deliver us, just in case we do die here in a minute, I just want to let you know, king, that we will not serve the gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Is there some doubt? There might be some doubt, but there's a whole lot of faith in what God said, and we're going to go ahead and just live by what God said instead of dwelling on the doubt that seems to come in our life. Abraham lived by what he did know. God had told him to go. Abraham didn't dwell on the things that he couldn't control. He did not dwell on the doubt of what is God doing. Number three, I noticed this morning, Abraham kept obeying while waiting for God's timing. Abraham kept obeying while waiting for God's timing. Look there with me at verse number six. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." He said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood. But dad, hey dad, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Hey dad, I've offered sacrifices with you before, but you always brought a sacrifice, dad. Dad, we got everything we need here. You okay, dad?" He said, "We're going to offer a sacrifice, but we're missing something." Verse number 8, "And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.' And they went both of them together." Son, listen, God's going to take care of this. How many times in your life as you've led your family, you said, "Honey, God's going to take care of this." On the inside of your mind, you said, "I sure hope so. I sure hope he's got this. Boy, Lord, I'm going to look like an idiot if you don't come through. Lord, this is going to be bad." What does he say, though? "You know, don't worry, son. God's got this. God can take care of this." And they came to the place which God had told him, verse number 9. "And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." Think about it with me just for a moment. Abraham obeyed God until God stopped him. Abraham kept obeying God even though he didn't understand. You see, it wasn't just God's going to provide a lamb, Isaac. No, the two of them built an altar together. "Dad, what about that lamb?" "You know, son, God's going to provide it." They finished the altar. Son, I need you to climb up there on the altar. God had Abraham put his son there. God had Abraham bind his son. God had Abraham take his knife out and raise his knife to slay his son. You see, this wasn't just, "Oh, they got up there and there was the sacrifice." No, God took him all the way to the point of his hand being raised. And Abraham obeyed the entire way. He continued to live by what he did know until God stepped in. What faith. As we talked the last couple of weeks, as we see someone in an overwhelming situation, God has come through in a very overwhelming way. Look there with me at verse number 10. "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me.' And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen.'" God came through in an overwhelming way. But watch this. Not until Abraham continued to obey him. Abraham, are you overwhelmed at the situation? Absolutely. But God came through in an overwhelming way. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were you overwhelmed? Yeah, but God came through in a pretty overwhelming way. Hey, Noah, were there some doubt? Absolutely, but God sure came through for my family in a very overwhelming way. You see, not only did God show up in an overwhelming way, but God also blessed Abraham for his obedience in an overwhelming way. Look there with me at verse number 15. "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, 'By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice.'" You see, God didn't only just show up in an overwhelming way, but God blessed Abraham in an overwhelming way. Why? Because Abraham acted in the face of being overwhelmed by God's plan. God wants to overwhelm you with His blessings, but you have to allow yourself to be overwhelmed by His plan. Abraham, were you overwhelmed? Yes, but God's blessings were overwhelming. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, yes, but God's blessings were overwhelming. Hey, Gideon, were you overwhelmed at the circumstance? Absolutely, but God came through in an overwhelming way. On Wednesday night, I stood here in the front, and Cody Kishpaw gave me a hug. Remember the first youth explosion 8 years ago? When Cody, out in the parking lot, I could take the spot, trusted Christ as his personal Savior. 8 years later, he's still sitting here at Grandview Baptist Church. I'll be honest, that first youth explosion and planning and the prepping and everything that went on, it was very overwhelming. Let me just tell you, I was overwhelmed Wednesday night, though, when he gave me a hug. I sat here Thursday, and I watched many of our graduates walk through the platform, receive a diploma, and I saw Ivy White stand here and receive a diploma. And I thought about Brandon and Michelle and the things that God has put in their heart and life. And though in the face of overwhelming circumstances and even in the midst of God's overwhelming plan for them, they've responded to God. And in responding to God and being overwhelmed, I am sure Thursday night as they watched their daughter graduate from Grandview Christian Academy, that there wasn't a mom and dad who sat there very overwhelmed. Why? Because they acted in spite of the overwhelming circumstances that they had to face in their life. In the same ride, I saw Brother Chris and Mrs. Vestal over here. And I thought, there's Brother Chris, and I bet there was multiple times in the last couple years where as he ran a bus route, he had an overwhelming Sunday. Doesn't every bus captain have an overwhelming Sunday every now and then? And I'm sure there was times where he visited a bus route on a Saturday and it was overwhelming. But yet, to watch the joy of a Brandon and a Michelle and an Ivy standing here, Brother Chris, I'm sure it was quite overwhelming to see what God had used you to do in their life. You see, when you and I live in spite of the overwhelming circumstances of God's plan, God shows up in an overwhelming way and God blesses an overwhelming way. Starting our adult Sunday school class, His design was a very overwhelming thing. But last night as we gathered with 35, 40 people at Gabe and Leanne's house, let me just tell you, we were very overwhelmed. So we sat there on the couch, my wife and I, back in July of 2008. We knelt by our couch there and decided that we were going to go visit Grandview Baptist Church and visit Pastor Mutzler, but we really had kind of already made a commitment that unless there was something wrong, we were going to be there. Let me just tell you, that night, we were very overwhelmed. It was an overwhelming feeling to think that we were going to move 2,400 miles away from home and our families to serve. But as I stand here this morning, I'm overwhelmed about what God has used us to do and what God's given us the opportunity to be a part of. You see, you might be overwhelmed by God's plan, but God wants to overwhelm you in His provision and His blessings. Being a godly man or a godly woman is going to be overwhelming. Yet God will come through in an overwhelming way. Deciding to be a godly husband and a godly wife is going to be extremely overwhelming at times. Let me just tell you, God's blessings for being a godly husband and a godly mother, a godly wife, and a godly father are extremely overwhelming. Teaching a Sunday school class, I'm sure at times, are going to be extremely overwhelming. But the blessings from teaching that class are going to be overwhelming. Raising your kids for the Lord is going to be very overwhelming. But yet the blessings of raising your kids for the Lord are very overwhelming as well. God wants you to be overwhelmed by His provision and blessings. But you have to allow yourself to be overwhelmed while you obey God's plan. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe this morning if I were to ask the question, if you would spend eternity in heaven or would you have doubt about it, you'd be honest with me this morning. You'd say, you know what, Brother Steve, I'll be honest, I have doubt about it. The alternative to heaven is very overwhelming. But praise the Lord for God's overwhelming response. You see, He sent His Son to die for you and I on a cross. So we could put our trust in Him and what He did for us on that cross. The fact that He paid the penalty for us, that He rose again 3 days later, and He's preparing a place for us in heaven for those who put their trust in Him. You see, yes, hell would be very overwhelming, but the blessings of God, the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven, my friend, is very overwhelming. But maybe here this morning, you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. The greatest decision you could make this morning is to follow God's plan and put your trust in Him. Maybe this morning you've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. This morning, though overwhelming, it might be the greatest decision you ever make. Maybe you'd feel overwhelmed with the thought of joining a Bible-believing church. Let me just say the blessings of being a part of this church have been overwhelming for 9 years. God wants to meet that overwhelming plan with His overwhelming blessing. Head bowed, eyes closed this morning.